So St. John Damascene is called the last of the church fathers. The church fathers were those men who came early in the history of the church, whom God raised up to help shape the understanding of the church and clarify her teachings and dogmas. In the beginning, there were so many questions, so many precedents to be set about how the church would understand Christ's human and divine nature. How would the church approach a confession, the sacraments, forgiveness, morality? Like so many things in the early church were being established, and the church fathers were those men whom God inspired to do it properly. And that's part of our unbroken line of well, just apostolic succession, but also the non-contradiction of the church. Everything that has been developed over the centuries, all the theological understandings are consistent with what has been there from the very beginning. I mean, it just kind of, when you really think about it, how is it that all these men in the early church just so happened to get all these finer points of doctrine exactly correct? So that they didn't contradict anything that came before or anything that came after, even up to 1,000 years. Right? That obviously has to be the Holy Ghost. So St. John Damascene is one of them, and he was born in the year 675 and died somewhere around 754. He's called the last of the church fathers, because by that point, you know, after 700 and some years, that foundation had been established. He's also one of the Greek fathers. There were Latin speaking fathers and Greek speaking fathers. Their primary language in which they wrote, and he was one of the Greek fathers writing primarily in that language. Also, he was named a doctor of the church later on. So for all those reasons, very important in the church, Saint John Damascene, and he grew up in a society, interestingly, that was. It was transitioning. In the year 675, that was about nearly 50 years after Muhammad had come on the scene and united the disparate nomadic peoples in the Arab Peninsula under this new culture, way of life called Islam. Right. So Muhammad had just come in, spreading his infernal doctrine, uniting these people under, unfortunately, that parasitic way of thinking, which Islam is. And until that point, Damascus, which is where he's from, Damascus, the whole area, had been primarily Byzantine. It was conquered by the Byzantine Catholic Church, or Orthodox, or various versions of the Catholic faith. And they had inherited Byzantine culture. It was very rich. And the Byzantine culture was 1,000 years old. That was inheriting from the Greeks, from the early philosophical thought of Aristotle and so on. And that had been developed, right, over that course of 1,000 years. So a very rich, very productive history there, Christian history. But that would soon to change. 50 years, a caliphate had been established, a sultan had taken control, and so we had this very strange situation of this Christian culture that was now controlled by this new religion, Islam. But Islam did not have a rich history, did not have a rich past, and so you ended up with Christian theologians, philosophers, government officials, who were running the kingdom for these Islamic sultans. That was kind of this strange phenomena going on at the time. So John Damascene was born to his parents, who would not convert to Islam, but the Muslims left them alone because they were so useful. They knew how to administer a kingdom. So John Damascene, his father was very pious and would use his wealth and influence to ransom these Christian slaves, these pirates who go raiding and take slaves. John Damascene's father would rescue them. One of the slaves that he rescued was a monk named Cosmas, who was an excellent teacher, skilled in philosophy and theology, as I mentioned, and that was hard to find in those Islamic-controlled countries, because the religion of Islam is irrational at its very root. And so when these Muslims would come across learning and education, it would refute their religion. So of course, what do? Get rid of learning and education, and to various degrees over the centuries. So St. John Damascene received an excellent education from this rescued monk named Cosmas, and was a brilliant student. And as he got older, he was given a position in the government administration of the Sultan, just like his father had. But even though he was very valuable to the Sultan, very well-read, very well-educated, he had a calling to be a monk. And so when he was about 30 years old, he left his position in the caliphate, and he entered a monastery near Jerusalem. And he would have stayed there the rest of his life, you know, just doing monk things. But God was going to make use of his education, and interestingly, God would make use of his position in that Islamic empire. For at this time, around the years early 700s, there was a heresy of iconoclasm. Iconoclasm is the idea that icons and statues and pictures of the saints ought not to be venerated. That's something that just keeps cropping up over the years. So this was a small problem in the empire that became a big problem when the emperor became an iconoclast. Emperor Leo III decreed that no public veneration of images should take place. So images began to be destroyed, people were hiding them, people were persecuted, I think some people even killed. And the emperor forbid any cleric, any bishop or whatever, to preach against iconoclasm. So this gag order. We've seen that before, right? Basically, this is the 8th century version of canceling priests and bishops. You can't speak out against iconoclasm. But St. John Damascene, he was an Arab-controlled country. He didn't have to abide by the decrees of the emperor. So St. John Damascene was one of the very few men in the church who could oppose the emperor's unjust decree of iconoclasm. And so he did. He wrote three works against this heresy, and the emperor was furious because he couldn't do anything about it. He could complain to the Sultan, but the Sultan was like, "What do I care about your religious disputes?" So St. John Damascene was instrumental in opposing the iconoclasm of the 8th century, and his writings would be used in the Second Council of Nicaea in 787, which formally condemned iconoclasm and established that as the official church doctrine. Veneration of icons, of pictures, of statues is good for the soul, good and praiseworthy for the spiritual life. So that was one of St. John Damascene's accomplishments. But you know, it doesn't come without a price. The emperor was so angry at John Damascene for having opposed him that he had drafted a spurious letter, supposedly from John Damascene, that was plotting the downfall of Damascus. So the emperor sent this forgery to the Sultan, who, to punish John Damascene for his supposed treachery, had his hand cut off. And St. John Damascene prayed to Our Lady. In fact, he went before an icon of Our Lady, the Theotokos, and prayed before her. And it is said that he fell asleep, and then when he woke up, his hand was restored to him. And for this reason, you'll see on certain icons of Our Lady, there's a little silver hand in the right-hand corner. It looks a little bit weird just sitting there. So if you've ever seen that, that is St. John Damascene's hand that was cut off and restored to him. Now there are some people that say that this is a kind of a spurious legend, that the accounts of this happening aren't very reliable, and that's true. There's some disagreement about, okay, is this legitimate or not? But as usual, I would rather believe about the saints. I would rather believe the miracles than disbelieve them, because God is certainly within God's power to do that, and it's certainly consistent with what we hear in the other lives of the saints. So I have no problems believing such such legends as truth. He also is very well known for composing many works of religious poetry, and he used this poetry to expound theological truths and defend them from attacks and errors. And this is part of the reason that he's considered a doctor of the church, is that his writings show very early on what was the church, what was the mind of the church, what was she protesting, what was she fighting against as heresies, and how was she explaining truths. Another one is he wrote a great number of works on our Blessed Mother, especially on her Assumption. In fact, in some places, sometimes he's called the Doctor of the Assumption. He wrote so much on that mystery. He also compiled a summary of all the teachings of the previous Greek fathers. So St. Basil, St. Gregory of Nyssa, Gregory Nazianzen, John Chrysostom, Cyril of Alexandria, St. Athanasius. He compiled and collected all their works and wrote it down in one volume called The Fountain of Wisdom. And it's been said that this book of John Damascene has been called the Summa Theologica of the East, of Byzantium. So a tremendous amount of work and influence from St. John Damascene, and his death cannot be fixed with great certainty, but generally given around 754. Important for us to know these early church fathers, who they were, what they did, how they influenced the church, and how they safeguarded that deposit of faith. In the Old Testament, the prophets were always looking forward to Christ, prophesying what Christ would do, prophesying what the Messiah would say, what he would be like, and so they're like facing towards Calvary. Ever since Calvary, it's the same thing. The fathers face towards Christ, and they don't prophesy what he's going to do, what he did say, and what he did, the things he did institute. So that's how we ought to look at history, before Christ is facing him, after Christ is facing him, and that's what we have here with the testimony of the fathers. They're not inventing doctrine, they're safeguarding, preserving it, and explaining it. So let's thank God for having given us the deposit of the faith. Thank him for giving us the magisterium, right? The New Testament version of the prophets, and realize that nothing can ever contradict what has come before. Doesn't matter who they are or how high their position in the church, they cannot contradict Christ our Lord, the scriptures, or the early church fathers. So that's their great function in our faith today. So we need to know who they are and what they wrote. So St. John Damascene, pray for us. God bless you all. The Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.